How y'all doing? Who was here last week? Who's counting the stars? Thank you, both of you. I don't know about you, I'm excited. I'm excited about just this church community and all that we can be in 2018. We've been looking, haven't we, at counting the stars, and we'll come back to that scripture eventually of Abram in the Old Testament, of how God called him out of a tent. You know, he was dwelling in a tent, and God said, come out with me, come on, let me show you something. And God showed him the stars and said, look up, Abram, look up. You know, some of us this morning, we just need to look up. We need to look up from where we are. We, in metaphorically speaking, and maybe even physically speaking, we're walking with our heads down. Ah, there you go. Thank you. And God says, that was that the sublime to the ridiculous or what? Now I can see them too much now. Turn them down a bit. And God sees us in our situation and in our tent and with our heads down. And God says, lift your head up. Look up. Stop looking down and look up. Oh, well, you don't know my circumstance, Dave. You don't know where it's up to in my tent. I'm telling you, God says, look up. Stop looking down and look up. How many know God's called us to adventure? I want to tell you that God has never called you to an existence. Hear me this morning. He's never called you to just exist. He's called you to adventure. I don't know about you. I want to be on an adventure. You know, I told you a story last week about the young lad, Ethan, who was on an adventure. And I've kind of been thinking about that a little bit. I'm like, wow, I wish I had as much adventure in me at 36 as he has in him. God has adventure for us. And God told Abram to come out of the tent. In fact, you know what? He didn't say come out. He said he took him out. That's what he says. Now, how many of you are ready this morning for God to come into your tent, the surroundings, the place that you're living at this time, and to say, come with me? And to take you out of the tent and to stop looking down and to look up at the stars and see something that you've not seen before. I want to tell you something this morning. God has not called us to tent mission. He's not called us to tent mission. He's called us to an adventure. He doesn't want you living in your circumstance, in your tent, with all of that stuff, with all of that responsibility, with all the good, bad, and sometimes downright ugly that goes on in our lives. He doesn't want that to be a mere existence. He doesn't want us in tent ministry. He doesn't want us in tent mission. He wants us to come out of the tent and see the vastness of God's empire and all that he has for us. Are you hearing me this morning? Can you get just a little bit excited this morning? That's what God wants for us. Now, some of you will notice, if you're new in, by the way, today, welcome. Let me tell you, we built this place for you. The very generous people of this church community and of Wigan put an awful lot of money into this place so that you could turn up this morning. I think that's awesome. That people would believe that God is so big and so wants to connect with you that they would put hard-earned cash into a place that can facilitate people to hear the good news of Jesus. I think that's great. And I want you to look around, and many of you who come here every week will have noticed that there, and you may not have counted them, but there are 1,000 chairs in here this morning. Have a look around. I want to know what's wrong with that side. What happened over there? Are all the smelly ones, sorry, I mean, are all the nice people over here? What happened to that far side? Isn't that interesting, where people sit and where they don't sit? I wonder why you didn't sit there. And I said to the guys, look, let people sit where they want this morning. Don't make them sit in one place. Let them sit where they... And I just wanted to know where you would go. Some of you managed... The chair may be in a different place, but you managed to find more or less this exact same spot. No one's moving me. You managed to find the spot. But I want you to look round and say that there is room for hundreds and hundreds of people who don't know Christ. There is room. And I'm not just speaking about the empty seats. You know, you can look at them and we say, look up. When you look down, you see lots of stars on the floor this morning. Lots of room for God's stars to arrive. But I don't just mean a seat this morning. I mean in this community, in this church community, in this family, in this adventure, there is so much room for so many more. It's not over. It's not finished. It's not the end. I want to tell you, it's just the beginning. Come on. There's room for your mate this morning. You know, the one that you've been helping at work, the one that you've been speaking to and even kind of gone out the way to say, you know what, if you want, I'll pray for you. What? If you want, I'll pray for you. That situation, you know, I'll pray for you if it's going to help. That one, that guy, John, I believe his name is. That man that you've been, or that woman that you've been seeking to help in the playground when you take your kids to school in the morning, and I don't know what her name is, Susan. These days it's Amber or something. I don't know, but whatever her name is, there's room for her in this community. Young people, there is room for your schoolmates in this community. Business people, the people that you, I don't know, have do the deals with and you sit and you sip your tea in a certain way with your little finger in the air. There is room for your mates. Those of you who are hard in, I don't know, hard working in the sense of a factory kind of workers, and it's tough work and you know the situations of the families around you, there is room for those families. We have built this for those families. Can you hear me this morning? We didn't just build it for our comfort. We built it for your friends. That one that you've not asked to the church community yet. The one that you think, wow, new building. Maybe it's an opportunity to bring someone. Bring them. Let them hear. Let them see. Let them experience God for themselves. Let them come into the presence of God. You know, we've had people that have come into this building, into this room, with no people in it other than just us. One or two people. And we've brought them in from the council. We've brought them in from different services around the town. And they've sat in here. And they've said, it's different in here. I believe, you know, we take the presence of God with us, but I believe that this is a godly space for us to come and to bring people. I want to say, long before I started my notes this morning, God's not called us to existence. He's called us to an adventure. We were looking last week at tent vision. You know, who remembers the tent that we had up here on stage last week? I invited you all in there and no one took me up on the offer except for my wife. She's looking at me now like, why did you just say that? I never said I wanted to come into that tent with you. But we had a tent on stage and it was just a visual to say, you know what? God wants you out your tent. Some of you were sat there last week saying he looks better in the tent than he looks out of the tent. But God wants us out of the tent to see something else. Genesis 15:5 said God asked Abram to come out or took him out of the tent. I want to say this to you. Sometimes you have to come out of something to see something different. Do you hear me? You have to come out of something. You have to stand out of a context and look into the context to see what we have. There's a lovely verse in the Bible that speaks about the ant. Says that we are to consider the ways of the ant. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your mother's brother, mother's sister. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the ant. And we are to view the ant, to consider the ant, the scripture says. And so let me tell you something about the ant this morning that they say, whoever they are. They say that the ant doesn't know the context of its own environment. Doesn't know where it is. Therefore, when it comes to the anthill, it's in there, hear me. The ant is in the anthill, but it doesn't know where it is until it comes out of there. So when it's in, it doesn't know it's in. When it comes out and it looks back, it knows where it's come from. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't know where it is whilst it's in the tent. Whilst it's in its dwelling, you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't know where it is. And I'd like to say to us this morning that sometimes we don't know, we don't understand where we've been living until we move out of it. And we look up. How many know it's difficult to know where you are when you're in it? We know what's going on, we understand the circumstance, we understand the environment of our tent. But we don't really know what's going on in there until we step out of the tent. Let me say something else to you. It's possible that your vision is your blind spot. Think about that for a minute. How can the vision, how is it something we see? How possibly could that be your blind spot? I'm saying it's possible that your vision is your blind spot. You see, last week I shared with you how I had very much a God moment, and God had said some things to me many, many years ago, and I'd placed some goals in relation to what God had said to me, and I'd got this number in my mind, this is where we need to be, and we began to plan for that, we began to live for that, we dressed for where we were going, all of that stuff. But my focus was on that number, and it had become my blind spot. Sometimes even good vision that we have, at the level that we have it, can become our blind spot. So I'm asking you this, what is the thing that you're seeing at the moment? What is the thing that you are caught up in that is keeping you in confinement? That is keeping you in that tent. That is keeping us in small thinking. And let me just turn my attention for a moment to, and this works across the board, but particularly I felt I wanted to speak to our business community for a moment this morning. Those of you who are out there doing the deals, making it happen, all at different levels, but very intentionally trying to make it happen in the business world and for hopefully the kingdom of God. Sometimes when our vision, listen, business people, sometimes when our vision is too small, that vision actually becomes our blind spot. We kind of get this laid out of our business plan and where we want to be and what we want to achieve, and sometimes it's too small. And we set our focus and we set our targets on that size and we think, wow, this is a great vision. And sometimes that very vision can be our own blind spot. And we actually don't see beyond it because it's our vision. And so we either have one of two visions. We either have this vision that becomes a blind spot to us, and that very much keeps us in the parochial. You know, I spoke last week about the parochial thinking. And in the business world, we can have a vision that keeps us very much in the parochial. But God wants to take us to the panorama. He wants to widen and stretch our thinking and increase our vision. Hear me. He wants to take us there. And this, I believe, is a place where there is faith. Everyone say faith. This is a place of faith. And very often in business, we kind of do our business with all the wisdom and the business acumen that God has blessed us with. And that's necessary. But let me tell you something. As Jesus followers in business, our business is about faith. Trying to get somewhere isn't just about how clever you are or how clever you do the numbers. There is faith involved. And I want you to understand that it's a walk of faith. And let me tell you something that I just felt as I was praying in the room before I came out earlier this morning, is that it's a place where faith and wisdom touch. You see, I look at the life of Abram, who eventually became Abraham. And remember, this is wider than business. This can be for our lives. But I'm addressing you as business people this morning. That Abram, when I look at his life, the Bible clearly says that by his response, by his obedience, that God accredited stuff to him as righteousness. God saw him as righteous because of his faith. And it's the same in business. God sees us in our measure of faith. And so as I look at Abram's life, I see that there were days that he was full of faith. And there were other times that it seemed like he's a wise man. But you know what? There were times where wisdom didn't really show that well. Some of the decisions that he made, where he went, what he did, they weren't that wise. But other times, he stood in faith. And I want to say this to all of you, not just the business people, but to all of you. There is a point where faith and wisdom touch. So I thank God for all the people who are blessed to create wealth, particularly if their heart and their generosity is towards the kingdom of God and not just to fill their own pockets. And I would say that for all of us, actually. But there is faith, and God does not ignore your faith. I want to tell you, God does not ignore your faith. If all you've got is wisdom and a bit of noggin and acumen to create something, whether it's wealth or something else, I don't think God is too impressed. I think we've got a lot of clever devils around. I think God is interested where faith and wisdom touch. Is that okay? In which case, we'll move on. I want to speak to you just for a short time this morning, particularly now that I've taken most of my time with my ramblings. Hopefully godly ramblings. I want to tell you one or two things, and I'll take this into next week, obviously. Things that disconnect us from the adventure. That there are things that we do and don't do, think and don't think, go and don't go, that can actually disconnect us from the adventure. God wants us all on the adventure, but there are some things that will disconnect you from the adventure if you allow those things. Everybody know? So I want to read just a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 11. And here's the deal. Last week we kind of spoke from Genesis 15, where Abram now is going towards his destiny in God, and he's in his tent, and God's trying to get him out the tent to look at something far bigger, that his destiny is so much bigger than the blind spot he's living in and tent vision that he had. And I just want us to kind of go in a reverse gear at this moment and come backwards to Genesis chapter 11, where Abram is still living with his own father and family. Genesis 11, verse 31 and 32, let me read it to you. It says, one day Terah, who is Abram's father, one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. So what's happening here is long before he reaches anything that God has for him, they have to leave. They have to make a decision to go on an adventure. There has to be a leaving. You understand? A leaving. And so he's here with his father, and they leave their home, Ur of the Chaldeans. And then it says, he was headed for the land of Canaan. How many know that this is where God wanted them? He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah, which is Abram's father, Terah, verse 32, Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. So here's the deal. They left on an adventure and got so far and then stopped. That's what they did. They set off on an adventure, they got so far, and then they stopped. Now, I don't know about your vision this morning. You know, we speak about living in the tent and just seeing our immediate surroundings and our responsibilities and the stuff that's good and the stuff that's not so good and all of that. I don't know about your vision this morning, your personal vision for you and your life and your family. And for your business and for ministry. But I want to say this. For me and TCC, I didn't come this far to only come this far. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. As for me, and I know I can speak for my family, I know I can speak for my wider family in the sense of my daughters and their husbands and my kids who are still part of my home today. I believe I have the audacity and I have the understanding of their lives and their attitudes and their hearts. I believe I can speak even for my grandkids, and they don't know this yet. But I say this, as for me and my family and TCC, I didn't come this far to only come this far. I didn't. And so I come to the main point of my talk this morning. And just for the next few minutes, just hear what I have to say. I'm only going to bring one point. I'm going to leave some for next week. Here's my point. When we stop, we settle. Did you hear me? I said, when we stop, we settle. Think about where you are right now. Not just in the context of this building. I'm talking about the tent that you're living in. Think about the surroundings. Think about the circumstances of your life. Think about the vision of your life that maybe you once had. Think about where the family's up to right now. Think about all of that stuff. Think about the context of where you are. Maybe even to step out of your tent for a moment, and before you look up at the stars and begin to dream, look back in the tent and see what it looks like right now. Maybe to do that right now. And as you do that, I say that when we stop, we settle. I want to remind you that as God's children, as followers of the way, followers of Christ, that we are called to be pioneers. God never called us to be settlers. He called us to be pioneers. And I asked a question right across the board, every single person that sat in the house this morning. Are there any pioneers in the house? Are there any people who feel that they've settled in the tent, but do you know what? That's not my destiny. My destiny is to come out, to look at the stars, to dream again, and to be a pioneer. Are there any pioneers in the house? See, sometimes we reach a certain distance on the adventure and we give ourselves a justifiable excuse to settle. Oh, well, it's the age of the kids, you see. It's where they're up to. Or it's my job, it's very demanding, you know. My life is so busy. My schedule kind of runs away with me. You see, it's my situation in our tent. We're in a desperate situation in our tent at the moment, in our surroundings, in our life. Let me read verse 32 from Genesis 11 to you again. Speaking about Abram's father, they'd gone to Haran and they'd settled there. Verse 32 says, Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. Here's simply what I want to say to you this morning. There are some places that if you stay, you will die. Hear me. There are some places that if you stay, you're gonna die. And I'm not just speaking physically here. I kind of get that you get that, but I'm making that clear. That if you stay where you are, you will die. It's what happened. They left Ur of the Chaldeans. They went to Haran and they settled. And Terah died. Where we settle, we die. Hear me. He died where he settled. So if you stay in your state of contention in your tent, you're going to die. You're going to lose breath. The life is going to be sucked out of you if you stay in your place of contention. The very lifeblood that God has given to you, your spring of life, your source of life to others, will die if you stay in your bone of contention. It's going to suck the life out of you. Can you hear me this morning? I'm trying to say it so you hear me. Let the word of God sink into your life. Let God speak to you right now. If you stay where you are, you will die. If you stay in this state of suspended animation, you're going to lose the adventure. If you stay in this decision of limbo, it's neither this or it's that or this decision or that decision or waiting for this or waiting for that. If you stay in suspended animation, the very life will be sucked out of you. How many know God wants to breathe life into you? He wants faith to rise. It will kill the adventure. If you stay in your current attitude, wow, what is that? What is your attitude? Is that a good, healthy attitude? Is it a stinky attitude? Is it an attitude of no? What's the question? You see what I did there? Not doing it. What's the question? If you stay in your attitude, the very life that Jesus wants to come through your life that shines as stars, that's what Scripture says, to shine like stars, it's going to go dull. It's going to fade. And the very life that you wanted will be taken from you. If you stay, you will die. If you stay in your narrow vision, then the blind spot will eventually take you out of the game. Let me say as I close this morning, it's time. Everyone say it's time. It's time to move away from Haran. It's time to leave Haran. It's time to move on from Haran. You know that place that you pitched your tent some time ago? And you thought, you know what, I'm going to live in this tent. And I'm going to deal with my responsibility. I'm going to look after my family. I'm going to do the things that I need to do, but I'm not going to move on. I'm going to settle where I am. I'm going to live here. And even though it's enclosed, and even though all I can see is the canvas, and all I can see is the stuff that's immediately around me and the responsibility that I have, I'm not prepared to go out the tent. I'm going to settle where I am. God says it's time to leave Haran. You see, what happens when we do that? life flows. The breath of God, as we rise in faith, and God counts that as righteousness towards us because of our faith in Him, and our faith acts before Him, bearing in mind we live by the faith of who? We live by the faith of the Son of God. Bearing in mind that we live by His faith, life begins to filter through us again. Do you know what? We are different people. When faith rises, when we come out of settlement, we begin to look at the stars and we dream again. And we kind of say, you know what? We're not settlers. We're pioneers. So we're going to pioneer something. The breath of God brings life to us and all that we touch. That's what happens. That's the way that it goes. And so as we coming just to this time of reflection right now, let me say this to you. Today's Community Church, I want to say we haven't come this far to only come this far. Is it possible that we should go after some stuff we haven't done in and for the name of Jesus Christ? Is that possible? Is it possible that today's community church should exist in other areas apart from our own beloved town? Is that possible? Is it possible that our story of grace, wow, that's such a short line, but so much in it. Is it possible that our story of grace should reach beyond the boundaries of our own front doorstep? Is that even possible? Is it possible that there are people bothered enough about the lost? Come on. Is it possible that there are people who were bothered enough about the lost that they should count the cost and step up to be counted in such an adventure? Is that possible? Is it possible that we have come so far on this journey, only to come this far? Is it possible that individuals would lay down their own plans in order to fulfill the plans of God? Is that even possible? Is it possible that God could capture your heart? Is it possible that God could capture your heart in order to give it away for the benefit of others? Is that even possible? If it's possible, stand with me right now.